Wonderful day. We now come to a absolutely fascinating topic, and it's apropos what we discussed in the Rambam Shir on Shabbos in terms of the interplay between Doraisa and Derabanan. The rabbis are given very significant authority, as we discussed on Shabbos, al pi haTorah asher yarucha v'al mishpat asher yomer lecha ta'aseh lo taser min hadavar asher yagidu lecha yamin u'smol. So the rabbis, as the Rambam explains, much to the Ramban's consternation, once the rabbis make a decree, and it's accepted, so that's backed up by the force of a din d'oraisa. That was the Ramban's whole attack, where the Ramban said, how could you have a principle then if sabik d'rabanan l'kula, if every d'rabanan is really backed up by a d'oraisa? But be that as it may, the fact is that that is the way the Rambam understands it. Now, there is a very important caveat in the Rambam himself, that when it comes to takanos, the rabbis want to make exer, the rabbis want to make a takana, we'll see a prime example in just a moment. It has to be something where we say, Yecholin Robat Sibor Lamurba, that most people can handle it. If most people are not able to handle it, and there's no evidence, Shalopash the Birob Yisrael, it never could be accepted by the Jewish people, so then we understand that the Gzeira was never really Chal. So it's not a matter of undoing or somehow abrogating a piece of rabbinic legislation, but it's sort of like it was never Chal. Legally speaking, it never developed. So that's the background for the Mishnah that we're going to learn right now, which is Takanas Ezra. So Ezra, as we know, led the Jewish people back from Babel, Shivat Zion, the last parak, fourth and final parak of Masechta Kiddushin, Asar Yochsen Alumi Babel, and the situation in Israel was a very terrible situation, as is detailed in Sefer Ezra. What was the main thing that was going on in the time in the land of Israel? What was the main problem? A lot of problems, but what was the main problem that was going on? Intermarriage. Very good, Effie. So there was intermarriage that was taking place. By the way, the situation in Babel wasn't so good either, because it says that Ezra came back with Asar Yochsen, not just Kohen Levi Yisrael, but he came back with Chalolim, with Mamzeri, with Shtuki, with Asufi. There were all kinds of problems that were going on in Babel, and according to one opinion in the Gemara, the reason that he wanted to bring them to Eretz Yisrael is he figured with the reconstituted Sanhedrin, they'd be able to clean everything up together. But in any event, when Ezra comes back and there's all this intermarriage, that's one of the theories behind Takanas Ezra, which was that a Baal Keri, somebody who has a seminal emission in the context of marriage, or not in the context of marriage, doesn't matter, whatever it is, everybody agrees that according to Torah law, that person has had a Mikra Laila, a person who can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, a person can't even touch him, has to go out of the Machane Shechina, the Machane Leviyah, but there's nothing in Halacha that says he's not allowed to study the Torah. But be that as it may, Ezra made a Takana that until he goes to the Mikvah, he doesn't have to wait for Hera and Shemesh, he doesn't have to wait for nightfall, but until such a person goes to the Mikvah, he shouldn't be allowed to study Torah. Now, again, there are different theories as to why you would have made this takana. What we have in the Talmud Bavli is a little bit of a harsh language. We wanted to make sure that people were conducting themselves, let's say, in a nice way, according to the Ramban's definition of Kedoshim to you. According to other theories, exactly what I suggested, that Ezra was looking to push these marriages apart, these intermarriages. And again, you'd say, if you're already intermarried, who's listening to Takanas Ezra? But apparently he thought that there would be some impact. So whatever the motivation was, there was a time period when Ezra's Gzeira did take hold. Again, never went to the majority of the Jewish people, otherwise it would not have been able to have been abrogated. But the basic principle was that you had to go to the mikvah before you'd be able to study Torah. Now, if you know Kriyat Shema, it comes from the Torah itself. It's 6 chapters of Dvarim, the 11 chapters of Dvarim, the 15 chapters of Sefer Bamidbar. When we talk about the minimum shir of Talmud Torah, we talk about Kriyat Shema Shachris V'Arbis. So that should have implications for Kriyat Shema as well. Now again, we don't have this takana today. There are certain chassidim that are very careful about this takana. You know, chassidim go to the mikvah every single morning, so they're keeping the spirit of the takana before they go off and daven very early in the morning. But again, I guess in some of the Eidot HaMizrach as well, al pi halacha, we don't have this takana anymore. And the Gemara suggests two different explanations. One of them is Mishum Bittul Torah, right? It's a cost of Torah. The person isn't allowed to study Torah until they go to the mikvah. It could be a day, 2 days, a lot of Bittul Torah going on. And also Bittul period of Rivia. People would think in their mind, I don't want to become a Baal Keri. I don't want to be together with my wife because I don't want to have to trudge over to the mikvah. So there was Bittul period of Rivia. Those are two Averos Chamurus. Bittul Torah, Bittul period of Rivia. You can find a lot of different statements in Chazal about how severe each one of those is. So two different theories, and certainly one of them would have been sufficient. But be that as it may, when Takanas Ezra was enforced, the question is, what would you say about such a person saying Kriyat Shema? So the simple meaning of the Mishnah, as it's understood by the vast majority of the Rishonim, is as follows. Bal Peri Mehara B'libo Veinu Mevarechu Lefanev Lo Lachareha. Then when it comes to Kriyat Shema, since the brachos are surely only a Din D'Rabbanan, We quoted the pasuk many times in Yerushalmi, Sheva Bayom Hilalticha Al Mishpatei Tzidkecha, but that's only in Asmachta. The Birchos Kriyat Shema only Derabanan, so we dropped those entirely. In terms of Kriyat Shema, which for sure is a Daraisa, B'shach B'chav Kumecha, leaving Shmuel's opinion and Daf Chaf Aleph aside, that Kriyat Shema is a Din Derabanan, deal with that another time, but basically Kriyat Shema was a Daraisa, so the Mishnah is saying Meharer B'liba. What's this based on? Could be the principle of Hear Her Kedibur Dami. That a person who's Mahara, who thinks over something, that's as if they're saying it, and that meets the standard of Vishinantan Lebanecha V'dibartabam, what we know is the mitzvah's kriya, going back to the Gemara Daf Yud Gimel on the Beis, as Reb Zutra explained it, that you actually have to articulate the words of Kriyat Shema, at minimum, the first paragraph. Now we know that there are other brachos midaraisa. For example, the pasuk in Parashas Ekev, V'achalta v'savata v'irachta s'Hashem Elokecha l'aretz tova asher natan lach. So if the rule is that the raisas we're going to say are not subject to Takanas Ezra, like we just said by Kriyat Shema, at least here are Kedibur Dami, so then that would be what you would expect for Birkas HaMazon. That's the next line in the Mishnah. Al HaMazon mivarech l'achara v'eino mivarech l'fanav. That you shouldn't make a bracha rishona. Because again, what's the source for bracha rishona? Basically, the Gemara and Daf Lamed Hey tries out many different possibilities in terms of psukim, but it comes down with the svara. We assume that it's only a din derabanan, that you have to make a bracha rishona. The Rambam may think that it's a little bit more than that. The Rambam says it's midivrei sofer. It might be an extension of deraisa, but be that as it may, we seem to be holding this line. Deraisas are not subject to takanas Ezra. The derabanans would be subject to takanas Ezra. Yehuda disagrees. He says, mivarech lifnehem ula achareihem, that you should be able to make all the brachas. Now the Vilna Gaon, before I conclude, the Vilna Gaon noted that this is not the correct way to interpret this Mishnah. He says, if that were true, there'd be a basic asymmetry. Why are you allowed to say Birkas HaMazon out loud, whereas with respect to Kriyat Shema, which is just as much of a Daraisa, you'd be forced to be Mahara Beliba. So the Vilna Gaon says it's the wrong interpretation of the Mishnah. He goes up against almost all of the Rishonim, which he wasn't afraid to do, and he says what the Mishnah is trying to say, that only with respect to Birchos Kriyat Shema, you're Mahara Beliba. But Kriyat Shema, you'd say that out loud, just like you'd say Birkas HaMazon. In the end of the day, the Gemara is so beautiful on Daf Chavalef, one Daf later, where the Gemara says that Rav Yehuda ben Nesera, in his base medrash, he saw that a Talmud wasn't really saying Kriyat Shema. He immediately read the situation correctly, and he said, oh, he's being choshesh for Takanas Ezra. And he said to his Talmud, my beloved Talmud, he didn't make him feel bad, he didn't make him feel embarrassed. He said, you say Kriyat Shema properly. Why? He quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, halo cho devari ka esh ne'um Hashem. Ma eish inu mekabel tuma after b'torah inu mekabel tuma. Rabbi Yudan and Beseir says we don't accept this. So when it comes to the fire is not mekabel tuma, and the b'torah is compared to fire. The b'torah and mekabel tuma. That's the direction that Klal Yisrael went. Whether it's because of bittul Torah, bittul period b'rivya. In the end of the day, Takanas Ezra didn't hold. Whatever his fine motivations were. And a person who's a Valkari in different practices, as I said, in the Hasidic community, and someday you don't have a Mizrach, but the bottom line is, you get up, you go to shul, you daven, you say Kriyat Shema, you learn Torah, Mishum Bittul period, Beribya, Takanas Ezra, did not hold. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha,